turn in our Bibles to a real familiar, glorious old story. In the book of 1 Samuel, in the 17th chapter, is the glorious old story. I love it. I've loved it since I was a child, and I love it still. Let's read, first of all, beginning 17th chapter. Why don't we just read the fourth verse for now, and you'll actually want to keep that place in your Bible, because I'll be reading a lot from this. But 1 Samuel 17:4 said, "And there went out a champion." Everybody say a champion. "There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath." And it says that his height was 6 cubits and a span. That's about 9 feet, 9 inches tall. That's real close to 10 foot tall. Now that's a big fella. Amen. Brother Mike McGee told me a story the other day. It was kind of strange that it concerned a kind of a rough place. And the ground started shaking. And people concerned. And all of a sudden somebody ran in. He was terror stricken. He said, "The Texan is coming." And people started running out the door, running for their life. And the keeper of the place was standing there. His knees were knocking. His eyes were big. His breathing was rapid. And he could see out the open door that they left open. He could see a giant figure coming. And I mean, he was quite a figure to see. He actually was riding on 2 buffaloes, and he had the brains in his teeth, and he had a whip in each hand, and he was whipping those buffaloes just as hard as he could. And he pulled up in front, and those buffaloes slid to a stop, and he sailed off the back through the open door. He went over and didn't say a word. Big old huge tall strong man. And there was some coffee on the stove. He just grabbed it and just gulped it down. Steaming hot coffee. Didn't bat an eye. And the purveyor turned and he said, trembling voice, he said, are you the Texan? He said, "No, but he's right behind me. We better get out of here before he comes." Now that's one bad fella. Now this Goliath, he was one bad fella. He was scary. Real scary. Amen. And so I want to preach to us tonight on this subject. Our day demands a champion. Our day demands a champion. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, we're introduced to quite a young man. The beautiful thing about David was he didn't know that he was great. He was just, well, David. He was not hung up on who he was and how he looked or what he could do. He was just David. He has quite a list of qualifications if we would look in the 16th chapter. It gives us just a short list of some of the things that he was. Chapter 16, verse 18. The Bible says that, first of all, it said he was a cunning player. He was quite a musician. He played a harp. And my, he played a mean harp. Amen. He was a worshiper. The book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible, and David wrote about half of those Psalms. He was a worshiper. How to worship, praise God. You want to be a champion tonight? You need to know how to worship. You may not play anything but a 5- or 10-stringed instrument like this, but if you can clap your hands together, you can be a worshiper. If you can stomp your feet, you can be a worshiper. If you can lift your hands, you can be a worshiper. Amen. If you can jump, you can be a worshiper. If you can walk, you can be a worshiper. We need to be like old Billy Sunday when he was preaching. He said, I hate the devil. He said, as long as I got a fist, I'll hit him. As long as I got a foot, I'll kick him. He said, as long as I got teeth, I'll bite him. He said, but if I don't have any teeth, and I don't have any hands, and I don't have any feet, I'll gum him to death. That's the spirit of a champion. Amen. Hallelujah. Somehow you got to worship the Lord. Lanny Wolf wrote a song years ago. It said, I'm going to praise the Lord any way that I can. You know where he got the inspiration for that? He was in a service, and there was a little lady sitting down there, and he watched her as the service began. She didn't have any hands. Matter of fact, all she had was two little old stubs on each side and just a little notch on the end of them where fingers should have been. But she was clapping those things together just like that with everything she had. Amen. And it came to him, I'm going to praise the Lord any way that I can. If you're going to be a champion, first of all, you've got to learn how to be a worshiper. Amen. So David was a worshiper. And then secondly, it says about him that he was a mighty, valiant man. Amen. Mighty, valiant man. Now, if you would ask David if he was, he probably would have said, I don't know. But he was a man that didn't run from test and didn't run from trials and didn't run from trouble. But he was a man that stood steadfast when opposition came and trouble came and tribulation came. Things did not shake him, but he had a foundation, and he knew that if God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. He later told the story. He said, I was watching my father's flock, and he said, a lion came. And he said, I grabbed him by his beard, and I slew the lion in the name of the Lord. He said, a big old bear came out, and he said, I killed him with my bare hands. I guess that's where that word came from, bare hands. Somebody got bare hands, and other people got bare hands. He said, I slew him with my bare hands. Amen. Because he was a man that was valiant. He wouldn't move. Nothing moved him. Nothing caused him to forsake. I'm sure, you know, courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing the right thing in spite of your fear. It's standing your ground when trouble comes because it's the right thing to do. And David understood that he was a valiant man. And then the Bible said that he was also a man he was a man of war. Somebody said, oh, I don't believe in fighting. I feel sorry for you, wimp, wuss. Amen. There's things that are worth fighting for. I said, there's things worth fighting for. There's things worth standing for. That's right. And if you don't fight for anything, you'll fall for anything. You've got to learn to plant your feet someplace. Amen. You've got to find courage to stand up and say, this is worth defending. There's a man in the Bible. And the Bible said that all he had was a field of peas, but they were his peas. And he said, the enemy is not taking my peas away from me. Somebody said, well, what in the world is that? It wasn't worth a hill of beans, but it was a field of peas. And he said, it's my field of peas. Not only that, he said, God gave me these peas. And not anybody going to take them away from me. And when the enemy came, he stood in that field and he fought all day long till the sun went down. And whenever the sun went down, there was just a wall of bodies around him because he said, I'm going to defend what the Lord has given to me and nobody is going to take it away. We need that kind of backbone. We need that kind of spirit. That's the kind of spirit David had. He was a man of war. When it came time to stand for something and fight for something he believed in, he was a man of war. And then the Bible says that he was prudent in matters. He had a head on his shoulders. He was a wise man. He was able to think and see things clearly. He was not just a hothead. He didn't fight just over anything. He didn't walk around with a chip on his shoulder. He didn't walk around looking for a fight. He didn't walk around with his feelings on his shoulder. Amen. You know, somebody said, don't nobody love me and don't you dare try. You ever met anybody with that attitude? It's like trying to hug a porcupine. That's a dangerous proposition. Amen. You got to be careful. Amen. But David was a man that was prudent in matters. He had a head on his shoulders. And then it said that he was a comely person. Amen. He was handsome on the outside and he was handsome on the inside. I know people that are handsome on the outside, but they're ugly on the inside. I know some that are beautiful on the outside, but they're ugly on the inside because they're hung up about the outside. And all they think about is the outside. You listen to me. Life is a great equalizer. And all that one day is going to change. Gravity is going to have its way. And you'll come to the age of the five B's. You come to the age of bunions and bifocals. Yeah, you can come to that day. Things are going to happen. Gravity will have its way. All right. And so, but David, he was not only a comely person on the outside, but he had character on the inside. He was a lovely person from head to toe. He was a good man. Amen. And so, David had all of the qualifications of a champion. All he needed was an opportunity. Let me tell you something about God. God, one day you get ready. If you got the spirit of a champion, there's going to come a time that God is going to open a door of opportunity. The Bible said that a man's gifts maketh room for him. Amen. And it will bring him before kings. And David had the right spirit. And there was a time that a door of opportunity opened and he was ready. I said he was ready. Amen. Our day demands a champion. Now what in the world is a champion? Well, the word from the Hebrew, it talks about the man that is between two. And in this instance, what it's saying is that Israel had an army on one mountain and the Philistines had an army on the other mountain, and between them was a valley called Elah. And in that valley there stood a man. He was standing between two armies. And he would lift up his voice and he would cry out and he would challenge and he would chide and he would curse Israel. Amen. That wasn't much of a champion. But he was an intimidating figure. The Bible said that he was 6 cubits in a span. That's at least 9 feet tall, plus. And I've read some counts up to 14 feet. I don't know how tall he was. I guess it depends on which way you're looking at him. Hey, after they get up to 9 feet, what difference does it make? The chain, the metal that he wore covering his chest weighed 125 pounds. His sword, just the head of his spear, weighed 15 pounds, and that's not counting the big old chunky shaft that was in it. This was a man of war. He was intimidating. He was scary. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that Israel was intimidated. They were trembling with fear for 40 days. That's a long time. To watch somebody strut up and down the valley. Amen. Nothing was happening. Brother Jack Yance one time was preaching on this subject, and he said you could tell the Israelites because they all had a suntan from the eyes up. Everything else was covered. If you ever seen anybody with a suntan like that, you know their colors. But it was into this situation that David came. He didn't come for the battle. He just came to bring some food to his brothers. But hey, what young man don't like to see a good fight? I know women don't like that, but guys do. We just like it. I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to say that, am I? But we just do. Amen. And so he came to watch the battle. He wanted to see it. And he couldn't wait to get there. He thought, man, I'm gonna get this food to him, and I'm gonna see a fight today. But what a disappointment. He got there and he said, "Woo! Just in time, nothing's happened yet. I'm gonna get to hear the bell ring, I'm gonna watch the first blow." And he got there and saw these guys with suntan from the eyes up. And about that time, he heard a voice from the valley. A big old roar. And the man from the valley began to cry out. And he began to speak these words. He said, "Why are you come to set a battle in array against me?" And he said, I'm a Philistine. As a matter of fact, the word translation says, I'm the champion of the Philistines. And he said, there's no need in both of these armies getting all messed up and bloody. He said, you just choose a man. And you just send him down here and I'll fight with him. And if he can defeat me, then we'll be your slaves. But if I defeat him, then you'll be our slaves. And he didn't have any takers. Not a one. Not one person said, okay, I'll take you up on that. They were scared to death. And he began to hear all the stuff around him. And David heard some people talking. And the first thing he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to defy the armies of God? See, they forgot who they were. A champion never forgets who they are. And more than anything, a champion never forgets their God. And so he said, who is this? And they said, oh, that's Goliath of Gath. Man, he's big. He's mean. And they were so afraid. And so then somebody started talking about, the king, he was trying to get somebody to go. He said, if you'll just go, he says, your family will be free in Israel. That means you'll never have to pay income taxes. Well, there's an incentive. Don't matter how much money you make, you'll never have to pay taxes again. But not one person stepped up. And said, well, and so he said, if that's not enough, he said, you can marry my daughter and be my son-in-law. Well, I guess that depends on the daughter. But apparently it's good enough for David. So he wanted to know what's going to be done. And then finally they said, and he'll have great riches. Oh, now there's an incentive. I heard about a man with a daughter that he couldn't find a suitor for. And so he called all the available bachelors together and he put them on one side of the swimming pool, Olympic swimming pool. On the other side he put his daughter. And in between was a pool of alligators. And he said, the man that will swim this pool of alligators to my daughter on the other side, I will give him half of my wealth. And he was a very wealthy man. And he said, and I will give him the hand of my daughter. And about that time, a man hit the water. And he started swimming. And he swam with all of his strength. Man, you talk about churning water. He could evermore fly. He swam across that thing. He got to the other side. And it was as if he didn't take time. I mean, just it was almost like he just jumped out of the water. And he's standing there, shaking water, trembling. And the big old hearty Texan comes over. He's so excited, pumping his hands, shaking his hand. And he said, congratulations, young man. He said, what motivated you? Was it the wealth or was it my beautiful daughter? And he shook a minute and he said, it wasn't either one. He said, I just want to get even with the guy that shoved me in the water. You just got to have some motivation, folks. David was looking for some motivation. He said, what's going to be done? And they told him the story. Told him about the rewards. Amen. And David said, well, he said, he told him the bear story. You know what? If you don't ever have any trouble, you're not ever going to have any good stories. Man, I feel sorry for people that don't have some good stories to tell. I got lots of them. Amen. I got stories people say, that really happened? Yeah, that really happened. Got good stories. But I went through some tough times to get them. I paid a price. Amen. I got scars I can tell you stories about. Isn't that great? That's the value of getting hurt. At least you get to tell a story. Caden's running around here with that little red cast. Getting everybody to say he's got a story. I feel sorry for people that don't have any stories. You can't be a champion unless you got some stories to tell. You got to fight some bears. You got to fight some lions. You got to have some victories if you're going to be a champion. So David, he's ready. Amen. He said, I got a lion. He told him the lion's story. He told him the bear story. And he said, and I know about God. He said, the same God that delivered the bear in my hands and the lion in my hands, he's going to deliver that old Philistine in my hands. David had the spirit of a champion. Somebody wisely said, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but it's the size of the fight in the dog that determines whether he's going to win or not. I've seen little dogs that scared big dogs because they had more fight in them. Amen. Amen. Don't get me started on dog stories. I got some of them too. Everybody needs a good dog. Two will give you better stories. Three will top that. Amen. But David, he's ready. And then he asked this question. Verse number 29, he said, is there not a cause? Folks, that's what we got to remember. There's a cause. We're here for a cause. And we better not forget the cause. It's not just about amassing all the stuff we can get and getting as many degrees as we can or amassing a lot of friends. And that's not what it's about. There's got to be a cause. And if we remember the cause, it comes ringing down the Galatian plains and the Galilean plains, and the cause says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel, to every creature." We've got to remember the cause. A champion has to have a cause in his life. There'll never be a champion without a cause. There's just something about it. That's what's going to put some steel in your backbone. That's what's going to put some strength in your step. That's what's going to put the true guidance in your hands, is because you've got a cause that you're standing for, something that's greater than yourself. So David comes out, and he's ready to go to war. Well, as soon as Saul hears there's somebody willing, he said, "Let me have him." He brings him in. I'm sure he's a little disappointed when he looked at him. He thought, "I was hoping for something more like Goliath." But if this is all we got, this will have to do. He said, "Now what you need, son, is the king's armor. I got the best." So he trotted out his armor and he put it on David. And the Bible says he couldn't even hardly walk. He said, "This won't do." Amen. Let me tell you something. You can't fight a champion's battle somebody else's way. You can't learn this off the internet. You can't learn this out of a book. When I went to Bible college, a guy told me, he said one of the greatest ologies you'll take when you get to Bible college is neology. You need some theology and you need some neology. You need to learn how to pray, because it's when you pray, that's when you begin to develop your own armor, and you begin to develop your own strength and your own strategy. And God begins to use you, and you develop and hone the gifts that God has given you, so that you may be able to fight as only you can. You hear me tonight? Every champion here is a unique individual. Amen. There's not anybody like you. Amen. When people when teams, professional teams, go against other teams, you know what they do? They film games and they film practices and they watch these people. And they try to learn. He said, "Now you see how he broke right there? You got to be ready for that. You got to watch him. You got to know his strategy." Amen. Brother Chris, you had to watch the strategy of your opponent so that you'd kind of know, you could read him. If you ain't nothing but a card player, you learn how to watch for people's strategies. You watch. Amen. And because everybody is unique. There's not any two alike. And so David said, I'm sorry, King, I can't fight in your armor. I have to do it my way. The only thing I know is what God has taught me." Isn't that what happened to the sons of Sceva? They just said they're going to fight like Paul fought. So they went in the house of the demon possessed, and they said, "In the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, come out of him." And he did. Beat them black and blue, ripped their clothes off, sent them scampering out of the house, scared out of their wits. Because they didn't know the Jesus that Paul knew. You don't fight as a champion. You don't fight another champion somebody else's way. But you fight what's proven. David marched on to the battlefield. Such confidence. Amen. And, "Oh, Goliath been saying, send me a man." David strutted up there and said, "I'm your man." He looked down at him. And he said, "Am I a dog that you'd send something out here like this to fight with me?" He was insulted that they would send David against him. Amen. And he insulted David, and he insulted David's God, and he insulted David's nation, and he insulted everything he could insult. Amen. And the Bible said he began to curse David by his gods. And then he said, "Come to me, and I'll give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field." Now that should have scared David. It was supposed to scare him. Athletes have this thing they call trash talk. And they try to intimidate people with words. And sometimes it works. There was a fighter years ago that I liked to, way back when I was a kid, and his name was Sonny Liston. He was a world champion heavyweight boxer. Man, he was good. And then along came this young man that I didn't like much. His name was Cassius Clay. And I didn't like him. He was all mouth, I thought. But the problem was he wasn't all mouth. He would tell folks what he was going to do to them, and then he'd do it. Don't you hate people like that? I always like to see a braggart fail. But Cassius Clay didn't fail. He went ahead and did exactly what he said he was going to do. And he kept doing it. Later changed his name to Muhammad Ali. But he just, that's what aggravated me. He said he's going to do it, and he did. Goliath said he was going to do it, and he didn't. David said he's going to do it, and he did. So David comes out. In verse number 45. Hey, you got to get this here. "Thou comest to me with a spear of the sword, and with a spear, and with a shield." He said, "But I'm come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give to the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Hallelujah. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now here's what a champion has to understand. You've got to know God. Not about God, you've got to know God. He can't be just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's got to be your God, and you have to know him personally, and you have to have experiences with him. You have to fight some battles and see God win some battles for you. And that was David's confidence. That was the heart of a champion. And David wasn't in this for any glory. If you're a glory hound, hang it up. You're not a champion. If you get a testimony and want to trot around to all the churches giving your testimony until your ego grows so big, you're not a champion. If you're a singer and you can't sing for some places because they're not big enough, you're not a champion. You're a sellout. That's good, Brother Grissom. Woo! I don't know where you got that, but that was good stuff. I'm so sick of God blessing people with talents, and they hone those talents in some little church somewhere, and then they outgrow that little church, and they can't sing unless it's in some big venue, and so much money coming their way. You are not a champion. You're a sellout. You get to the place that only big churches let you preach. You don't preach in little churches anymore. You got to go to big churches. You got to stay in a certain kind of hotel. You got to eat in a certain kind of restaurant. You're not a You've lost your burden. You've lost your way. You've lost your ministry. You lost your motivation. You're not a champion. You're a sellout. Amen. David was a champion. Amen. Now you put that in your back, and you hold on to that. Young people, you hold on to that. You got some dreams. God will bring those dreams to pass. But don't you forget what you started in this thing for. You let your ego outgrow your anointing, and you'll be useless. You may have a name, you may have fortune, and you may have fame, but you'll be nothing in the kingdom of God. And you'll stand before a throne, and one day he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Oh, but everybody knows me. I sell lots of records. My recordings, I'm in the top 10. So what? But Lord, I got the Holy Ghost, Athens UPC. I don't know you. I know what you were. I know how you started. I know who you were then. But I don't know you anymore. That happens. I said that because that happens. We need more men like Tom Barnes. A contemporary with some of the great healing evangelists, so-called, that went on to have great names and great fortunes, great television programs, worldwide ministries, and their name was known, but they lost their way. Brother Barnes had a banner made, put it over his tent, and now they were having revival. People getting saved, people getting healed. And he was getting on the bandwagon. Everybody was doing it. So he had a sign made. And he was standing admiring it. They had it hanging on the tent, and it said, "Barnes Healing Campaign." Oh, that looked good. And suddenly he heard that familiar voice of the Lord that said, "Huh, who's Barnes?" And he took it down. That's what a champion does. A champion may make some mistakes, but they learn. This is not about Barnes. This is not about Grissom. This is not about anybody's name. God still does the healing. God still does the saving. God still does the delivering. God still does everything, and it's all for His glory. And so David marches out onto the battlefield. Amen. With nothing but a slingshot and faith in God. Now, the Bible said he picked up 5 stones. A lot of speculation about the 5 stones. I don't believe it was because he thought he was going to miss. He had enough faith. I don't believe he thought he was going to miss. But you read about Goliath having 4 brothers. He said, "If they show up, I'll take them down too." Somebody else said it means J-E-S-U-S. I'm not real sure what it meant, but I know that he went out there and he was ready. And he gets a sling. He swings it like he knows how to do. He flings the stone like he knows how to do. He's done it tens of thousands of times. And the stone flies and smacks into the and sinks into the forehead of the giant, and he falls down, and the earth shakes as his colossal body thuds against the ground, and David runs over. He doesn't have a sword. He tried one. That didn't work. Amen. He said, "But I got one right here." He reaches over. I don't know how big that sword was, but he drug it out of Goliath's old body, and he took that thing, and he told him, he said, "I'm going to cut your head off." Tell you something, when you're dealing with the devil, you can't be kind. You can't do a halfway job. You don't just knock him out. You finish him while he's down. You get to dealing with your old stinking flesh. You better not get weak. You start giving into your flesh and it'll eat you alive. It'll come back and it'll conquer you. David knew, I got him down, I got to finish the job. And I know it's gruesome, but he pulled, and I loved it when I was a kid. My mama had a Bible. I couldn't read, I was probably just a little bit of a kid. And I'd get that Bible down the floor, and it had some pictures in it. And my favorite picture was David when he was cutting the giant's head off. It was in there. Now today that'd probably be X-rated or something, I don't know. But back in my time when we were violent people. Violent. Doesn't even compare to the gore that people see today. But anyway, he was cutting his head off. Man, I love that picture. Here's David, and now he's cutting the head off of the giant. Amen. I can see him as he turns around, he grabs him by his old hairy locks, and he lifts up that head, blood dripping on the ground. Eyes got X's in them. You know. And he holds that head up. He said, "All right, Israel! Amen. To God be the glory." Hallelujah. And they come storming off the mountain down the valley of Elah. And the Philistines, all you can see is dust. They're heading out. Israel's on their heels. They're slaying left and right. They chase them all the way back to their capital city until they can get inside and slam the gates. Amen. The way is strewn with the slain bodies of warriors when Israel grew a spine. Amen. And went after the enemy. But it took David to get it started. It took a champion to get it started. Amen. Now God can make a champion out of anybody. No excuses. You're not too young and you're not too old. Amen. And you're not too in between. Amen. Anybody can be a champion that makes up their mind tonight. That's willing to accept a challenge. And when you hear the challenge and say, "Who is this that's defying the armies of the living God? How dare you? How dare you try to take our children? How dare you to destroy and pollute our nation? How dare you try to take away Christ out of our nation, out of our schools, out of our government? How dare you?" God needs some champions to stand up to. Amen. God needs some champions in the classroom to respectfully, everybody say respectfully, respectfully stand up. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God needs some good students, some kids that are not afraid to learn. If God gave you a good brain, use it. Don't make excuses for yourself. Don't be a lazy student. Boy, Grissom, Brother Grissom, you're on tonight, man. You're hitting, what is it, 1,000? Is that what a good one is? Whatever it is, you're doing it good tonight. Amen. Praise God. And that don't just go for kids, that goes for old folks too. Amen. You're not too old to learn. Brother JTP was one of my great heroes. I heard him preach one time when he was in his 80s. He said, "I've always heard said that you can't teach an old dog new tricks." He said, "But this old dog is dying to learn." And he backed up what he said with his words. You could go to the university library in Odessa, sometimes in Midland, and over in one of the tables in the cubicle, Brother JTP over there studying. "What are you studying for?" He wasn't looking for a degree. He just wanted to use his mind and the best he had for the glory of God. Amen. We need our young people. Some of you need to be the smartest. You need to be the valedictorian of your class. Hello? So you need to be the valedictorian of your class. You need to make up your mind. Don't you let people intimidate you and the devil rob you. Amen. Praise God. It's real hard for God to bless ignorance. So you take what you have and you use it for the glory of God. I know that not everybody's equal, has equal mental gifts and gifts of intelligence. I'm aware of that. Painfully aware. But let me just tell you this. Amen. But whatever gifts you have, use them for the glory of God. Boy, I got to quit. Man, I could preach tonight. I really could. Amen. I'm getting wound up here. Praise the Lord. There was a young man. His name was Ben. Ben got in some trouble. And he when his mom heard about it, said, "All right, Ben." And he had all kinds of excuses. He lived in a poor neighborhood. He was a poor boy. He didn't have Nikes or Adidas. He didn't have any of that stuff. His mama was a single mama. Dad had left home, run off. He's been raised by a single mother that was working her fingers to the bone to provide a house and food and an education for her little boys. And so when he started whimping and whining about all the excuses he had, she said, "Uh-uh." She said, "That don't work in this house." She said, "What you're going to do this summer is you're going to go down to the library and you're going to read books. And every week, you're going to turn in a book report to me." Boy, that was a mean mama. She said, "You're not going to be out running the streets. You're not going to be out getting in trouble. You're going to be in the library. You're going to be reading. You're going to be learning." Oh, what an awful punishment. She backed it up. She made him do it. He was glad for school to start. And in school one day, the teacher asked a question. And nobody raised their hand but Ben. Ben's hand flew up. And he knew the answer. And you know what? It dawned on him. "I'm one of the smart kids." He'd always been one of the dumb kids. But all of a sudden, he had the answers. And you know what? He didn't stop. He just kept reading and he kept studying. And when he found out he was a smart kid, he liked being a smart kid. And today he's a smart, rich kid. He's one of the most renowned surgeons in the United States of America, neurosurgeons that do surgery on people's brains. Just a little old black boy from a poor home and all the excuses, but he said, "That's not good enough for me." And mama said, "That's not going to work for my little boy. You better than that. You hear me today. I don't care what other people are telling you. You're better than that. You owe it to God to take what He gave you and do something with it." Hey man, don't you be intimidated. You don't have to act like everybody else. You get above that. You be better than that. Hey man. Well, praise God. And that changed David's life forever. The Bible says that day. Everybody say that day. Saul took him that day. It would not let him go no more to his father's house. One of these days you say, "Well, you know, I've been working so hard so long, Brother Grissom." Get ready, payday's coming. Opportunity's going to swing open. And when you get it, you understand where it came from. Amen. But life will never be the same. Life will never be the same. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's so good. God's so good. Amen. He'll take, if you'll give Him an opportunity, God will do unbelievable things with your life. And you will do far more than your dreams even allow you to think. World War II, battle was raging. Americans on one side, Germans on the other, bullets flying. A man watched his friend take a bullet, fall to the earth, bleeding. He wanted to run out and get him, expose himself to live fire. His officer said, "Don't you do it, son. Don't you do it. Don't you do it." He said, you don't go out there. You'll die." And somehow he couldn't refrain himself. Suddenly he surged to his feet. He ran and grabbed his friend. He brought his friend back safely. Just before he got back to the foxhole and safety, some bullets pierced his own body, and he fell with his friend to the ground, and his blood began to run out of his body in fatal wounds. And his friend was though he was wounded, he was weeping. He was saying, "His sin, why did you do it?" And then he said, "I'm not worth it. I'm not worth it." And his friend's last words, he looked up at him, and his last words were, "Be worth it. Be worth it." I don't care where you came from, what your background is. Somebody gave his life for you. Amen. And you say, "I'm not worth it." Doesn't matter. Be worth it. Make up your mind. Be worth it. Don't listen to the devil. Listen to the Lord. The devil will tell you, "You're nobody. You're nothing. You'll never amount to anything. You got too many things against you." Be worth it. Make up your mind. God didn't make any junk. Our day demands some champions. We got the world on one side. Amen. Church on the other side. Valley in the middle. And that's the battleground of the champions. Somebody needs to be champion. Let's stand together. Somebody needs to be a champion. Somebody needs to stand between the two, the church and the world, and lift up your voice. Like Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. And if you can't answer for your house, you can answer for yourself. Can answer like the apostles that day when the crowds began to walk away from Jesus. And he turned and he said, "Will ye also go away?" Peter lifted up his voice and said, "Lord, to whom can we go? You alone have the words to eternal life." Amen. Is there some champions in the house tonight? Is there somebody that would be willing to dedicate themselves in a deeper way, in a greater way tonight? Is there somebody that would be willing to come and stand and say, "Lord, I'm coming into the valley of battle tonight. I'm offering myself. Everything that I have, everything that I am, everything that you can make me to be, I'm offering that up to you tonight, because our day demands a champion. Our day demands a champion." I know it's going to cost something. I know I'm going to have to pay a price. I know I'm going to have to stand alone. David was not afraid of solitude. He spent a lot of time by himself. But he used that time to hone his gifts for the glory of God. He used that time to worship. He used that time to pray. He used that time to be a mighty young man for God. Don't be afraid of solitude. Don't be afraid of being alone. Amen. If you're going to be a champion, there are not many champions. So you're going to spend a lot of time alone. Amen. Praise God. Make up your mind and offer it to God. Offer it to God. Here I am, Lord. Would you give it to Him? Just give it to Him. Here's my life, Lord. Gifts, my talents, my abilities, my faults, my failures, my sins, and my fears. I'm giving you all of it.
We will rise and face the darkness.
You'll take it.
We will
You'll
shine
use it.
His holy light.
And you can make me a champion.
We will live to love the hopeless. We will lift the cross of Christ.